It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No
holes barred.
Hello, hello, Laura. Laura's got a massive thumb and she doesn't
know
why.
What's going on with it?
It's mysteriously penis-like.
And I think it's broke.
I think it's broke.
I think I broke it, but I haven't because I can move it.
There's nothing you can do for a broken thumb, is there? What do they do? Strap it up?
I imagine so.
Give it a little plaster cast.
Yeah. And considering the fact that I had a heinous injury on Friday, our freezer is around 16 years old.
Yeah.
Chest freezer. It's been a very loyal companion to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucked. It's on permanent super freeze because the button fell off, so we can't take it off super freeze.
That's costing you an arm and a leg.
It is, yeah. That's probably why there's fucking energy crisis in the UK because of that bloody freezer. But like the lip of it that you lift up with, it is, just keeps chipping off because it's an old girl.
Yeah.
And I lifted it on Friday and a bit of it chipped off and just sliced into my finger and took a massive chunk out of my finger.
Oh, that's horrible.
Now, I throw by throw sent pictures and details to Steve while he was at work, detailing how horrifically awful this whole situation was.
You have got a bit of like health anxiety. I mean, I say little.
Oh, a lot.
It's pretty big.
It is major, mate. I just looked at it and I just felt my tummy go funny, like, oh, this is where we pass out now.
Is it all right, though?
Yeah, it's fine.
No, I've actually got freezer envy because I don't have enough space in my house to have a very big freezer. So I've only got an under-the-counter one.
It's not, yeah, I mean, we have an under-the-counter one. We have a built-in one. So that's like a drawer pull one.
Yeah.
And then the chest freezer, it's not a big chest freezer, it's one of the narrow ones.
Yeah.
That's out in the conservatory. That thing really takes a poor fucking beasting in the summer because the conservatory is like 700 degrees.
What? Yeah.
I have no idea how that freezer's still going. And I say to Steve every year, we've got to get a new freezer.
So the question is, are you going to get a new freezer now that it's essentially attacked you?
Yeah, it assaulted me. This is GBH. It actually drew blood. The problem that I have, Vic, is I then feel major guilt because I have weird fucked up attachments, don't I?
Please don't tell me you're attached to the chest freezer.
Well, because I just think that poor thing, like it hasn't...
It's not real. It doesn't have any feelings.
But it hasn't died and then I'm just throwing it away.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
It stabbed you. you're in an abusive relationship with the freezer.
I know. And I'm
you
still
need to leave it immediately.
And I'm justifying. Look, it didn't mean it. It was just a one-off. Okay. I think I probably hurt the freezer. Imagine the freezer. It's missing a part of it now because of me and my sort of heavily strong, overzealous finger. Yeah.
Oh dear.
I've got therapy this week.
Have you? Good. Right, talk
just
about
in
it.
Time.
That's the first subject that needs to be raised. Jesus. My relationship to my chest freezer.
You know how people fall in love with like exhaust pipes and marry
them
and stuff?
This is you.
This is me, yeah.
You'll be rubbing your labia on it next.
Yeah, fall in love with a blow-up doll, kind of. I'd be in the front page of the Daily Star.
How's your week been?
I mean, obviously, emotionally a roller coaster because it always is. How's yours been?
Yeah, I think I'm flatlining emotionally. Actually, I'm in I have no feelings phase.
Oh, that's lovely.
No, it's quite nice. Just numb to the world, but it'll come back and it'll hit me a binge. So
yeah, absolutely. But it's quite a nice place to be while it lasts. You know,
I've had some shit sleep. That surprise.
Fuck. Kick you right in the midge there.
I sent you a photo of me and Edith spent the night.
I thought you were strangling her. So she sent me a picture of her in the night through the baby monitor, laying on the bed next to Edith. And I replied back and went, mate, are you strangling her?
I'm not. My arms are like above my head and Edith is just sort of like lying on my stomach, isn't she? But Jesus Christ. She woke up at 4:30 And that's so close to bed, like wake up time, isn't it? It's like the danger zone when they wake up.
Half past four
early.
Is an exceptionally unreasonable time. Yeah, let's put
and
it that way.
She was crying. And,
unless I'm going to Gatwick and getting on a plane, you can fuck right off.
Yeah, there's no other reason to be up that early. No. But yeah, she started crying, and I just didn't want her to wake Oliver up because that's generally what goes down when she starts crying. Because the second she opens her eyes, she's just screaming, "Mercy!" So I just went in there straight away. And I thought, I'm not getting her up now. This is mental. I don't want her in my bed. I'm just going to get into her bed. And I did. And she fell asleep. She went back to sleep immediately.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well done.
Of course not.
That really surprised me. You were like, yeah.
Oh. Because also she's got this like weird, her room is tiny. It's actually half a room. The room was split in half. And there's half is a bathroom and half is obviously not in the same space. There's a fucking wall in between them.
Yeah, she's not watching you take a shit at night time.
Exactly. But it's really small. So we had to get her this like, I don't know, it's like a weird European size bed or some shit. So that's what it's called. But it's like a narrower single.
A Toby has a narrow single.
But it's so fucking single. Like you can't lie on my back really with her in there.
You've got
to
lay on your side, love.
I lay on my side and then
like your arms, where the fucking arms go.
Yeah. And then my hand, my carpal tunnel was set off because my arm was like above my head like that.
And logistical then nightmare.
My gammy hip as well. I haven't spoken about my gammy hip on the podcast. No, this is thrilling content.
I'm already emotionally checking out.
You're just daydreaming about your freezer, aren't you?
I'm worried. Okay, I'm worried about my freezer's feelings, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So I've got this weird hip that started when I started running, and it feels like I had that thing in pregnancy where you're basically, it's like your pelvis just
starts
getting jazzy, doesn't it?
I call it SPD.
SPD.
Getting jazzy.
It just like releases all its ligaments and lets you your joints flap around in your pelvis.
It's painful, yeah.
It's really fucking painful. And it feels like that, even though I wasn't pregnant. I'm not pregnant. I haven't been pregnant for 4 years.
Yeah, you're not with child.
No, I'm not with child. And it's like that. It's awful. So anyway, I'm on a stupid single bed lying on that gammy hip with my arm suspended in the air and my carpal tunnel being set off. And her every 5 seconds just like checking that I'm still there by smacking me on the face.
Yeah.
So it was a really not very restful night that I had. But she did go to sleep till 6:30.
There we go. So she was okay. Thank
God. She was
all right.
Was that on Friday night? Yeah, it was on Friday night. So luckily we didn't have to get up in the morning for school and things. So I got up and I got straight back into my bed and just was like, see you later, Rob. You're dealing with them.
Yeah. Get
and I went
fucked.
Back to sleep. Went back to sleep and had very sexual dreams, actually.
Oh, I tend to find that when I've been awake and
like
I go back
sleep.
To sleep, that's when the sexy dreams happen. And then because it's like fresh in the mind and I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I then go to bed that night and I'm like, right, where was I? Yeah. And then I'm like trying to pick up where I left off. And I'm like, no, he didn't look like that. Hang on a minute. Why has that person not got a face? Where am I? And it's like, no, Laura, just get back into the mood. And I can't get
back into the sex. Yeah.
Get into it.
I can't. I don't even remember what happened. I don't remember anything. I think in my plateauing emotions phase, my memory's really bad.
Do you want to know what that is?
Probably just, something about trauma.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Coming from the trauma queen. That's basically my entire life.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Love it. Let's embrace it. And then the rest, what else has happened? I don't know. I feel very like, what has happened? Who fucking knows? I had a nice weekend-ish. That was quite a surprise.
Well, I went to a burlesque evening on Saturday.
Oh, yes, that's right, you did. Tell us about that.
It was really good. So there was a lady who, she owns the company. She was amazing. She's Newcastlean. What do you call it?
A Geordie.
Yeah. You're like, you know when you go, oh, they're Liverpudlian.
Yeah, do you call them a Geordie?
They're a Geordie. Yeah. She was great. Her body was just incredible.
What's the place called?
So she basically what she does is she has a show and it's on the road. It's called the 100 Watt Club. And she goes to different locations and she uses different acts at those different locations. So she had a juggler who was a comedian and he was really funny. He was really good. She had a Bollywood burlesque dancer and she was brilliant. She had she injected comedy into hers. There was a contortionist and then there was a 1920s burlesque dancer.
That was the one that floated your boat.
But Vic, of all the places for Laura to sit, who did she sit next to? The guy that was effectively fucking wanking himself off.
Oh, no.
Oh, mate.
The perv. The resident mate. Perv.
As soon as I sat down, I was like, oh, God, you're a pervert.
So was it like rows of seats? It wasn't tables or anything like that?
Rows of fucking seats. And he was like,
oh, God.
Yeah,
like we're licking
ready.
His lips.
Yeah, we're ready. And I was like, oh.
Oh, that's so disconcerting.
It was like, I felt like throat punching him at some points because I was like, look, I fancy these women. And I am not being like that.
No.
So, and we were surrounded by a lot of just really sleazy men.
Really?
And I don't know why. I kind of expected it to be more women. And there were a lot of women. It was really lovely to see that there were some much older women.
Yeah.
But sadly, I obviously got the one fucking seat in the house next to the guy that was like, I basically, the way I described it is when it finished and we went into the toilets and there was a random lady queuing. And I said, well, the guy that I was sat next to had a really lovely time. She went, oh, did he? And I went, oh, he had a really lovely time. She went, oh, shit. I went, yeah. I said, like, he's going to go home and he's going to remember how much of a lovely time he had. And she was like, oh, no. And I was like,
And it wasn't. They're such
I know, and he was they? So. And the worst thing was my friend who I went with, she went, Laura, I came last year and he was here then as well and he was exactly the same.
Oh, no, really?
And she said, and I also went over to one in Portsmouth and he was there at that one, but it was a completely different company. So he obviously really fucking likes burlesque dancers.
Yeah.
And she said, so is there anybody in the audience that has got anything that they're celebrating? And inwardly, I'm thinking, Laura, don't put your hand up and say your show, you fucking arrogant cunt. So I'm like, keep it quiet. Of all the members in the audience, Vic, who said, me. Oh, it was that guy next to me.
No, that's a lie. He's celebrating nothing. What
he's
did
celebrating
he say?
Putting his fucking dick in his hand. He was like, oh, I do. And the lights came up and she went, oh, I know you. And I was like,
oh no, that makes it even worse.
So creepy. And my face was just complete and utter repulsion as I looked over at him. He was like, it's my birthday on Monday. She was like, oh, it's your birthday. And he was like, yeah, it is my birthday. She went, and is what have you got planned? Have you got anything special planned? He was like, yeah, I'm going to see my family. It was just like, I felt like the half of me that was sat next to him needed to go home and be showered. I feel like his jizz embers were just all over me. Mate, it was horrible. It was horrible.
I mean, I totally get, you know, like it is obviously, it's a sexual thing, isn't it?
Oh, and the 1920s burlesque dancer, mate, she was just, she had porcelain skin. Her body was just absolutely fucking flawless. It was so beautiful. And I was just, I could have watched her all night. There could have been nobody else. I could have easily watched her. And then we got to the end. And you know what my social anxiety is like. Yours is like, you're quiet. I'm not.
I know.
So like they, as the two people that I was with, as we walked out, they were like, oh, look, like everyone's here. Do you want to go? Because I was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Oh my God, she's so beautiful. And they were like, go over and get a picture with her. I was like, oh no, I don't want to get a picture with her. So I tried to walk out and they stopped and they were like, come on, let's get a picture. And I was like, and then I went over to her and I was like, oh, I have to touch you. You're so beautiful. I don't want to touch you in an inappropriate place. I just want to touch you on the arm. Is that okay? And she was like, that's fine.
I mean, that is weird. Is that what you said to your freezer as well?
Yeah. Please, may I open your box?
Not in an inappropriate way.
And put my hand in.
May I just, please, feel a little bit of your frosty frost next to the sweet gum, please.
Please, may I put my hand in? So she was like, of course. You know, when you're like the creepy guy, he was fine. Me, no. And then I was like, oh, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Your skin is just so perfect. Oh my God, you're so soft.
Yeah, don't make it worse, babes. Jeez.
And then I glanced over at my two friends. They weren't saying anything.
Were they laughing?
And no, they looked horrified.
I would just laugh in that situation.
And I panically looked at them and I went, do you want to join in the conversation? And I went, let's just take a picture. And I took a picture and I don't remember taking it. I didn't even remember if I clicked the button. And we walked out and I went, Emma, that is why I don't talk to people. Because she was like,
I don't know.
She was like, that was exceptional. I was like, I know, I warned you, but you didn't listen. I told you I didn't want to go over.
Can I tell you something about my social anxiety, which really made me laugh? So I had my hair cut on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I find that I don't go to the hairdressers that often. And I find it all very anxiety inducing. Do you? Oh, no. Do you go to the hairdressers? Your friend cuts your hair.
Yeah, Lynn's does my hair. She's like my best mate. So she's used to this.
So it's fine. And you're not like going into
a hairdresser is a very, very vulnerable place to be.
You know, that's one of the, and it's one of the places when I used to have panic attacks regularly, the tube and the hairdressers were the two places that I would guarantee.
Really?
Yeah, guarantee to have them. That was probably the only two places I really had them. And it was something about feeling really vulnerable and being out of control and not being able to escape. It's kind of those two things. Anyway, so I went, and it's quite a fancy one in Shoreditch. So it's like East London. It's very cool.
Shoreditch, hello.
I was like,
those people got to see my tits.
Oh, it's so, I love it around there. Even though I don't fit in at all and everyone's so young and trendy, it's like, fucking hell, who are you?
You people? Totally fit in there.
I don't feel like I do.
Stop.
But yeah, so the girl that was like the receptionist girl who took my coat was like so sweet, but I can immediately spot another person that's socially awkward and anxious because
I see me. What did you think when you met me then?
No, I didn't think that. I think maybe socially anxious in my style of being socially anxious, like not in yours.
Not like Stabby Joe Laura.
No, not like you, fingering the burlesque girl.
And my freezer.
Your freezer. And then she took my coat and like just the interaction is just so like, sorry. Okay.
She's a receptionist at a fucking hairdresser's. That's horrendous.
She washed my hair as well. And that was nice. We had a little chat. But then when she came to put, at the end when I was leaving, she was like, oh, I'll go and get a coat. And then like she was holding my coat for me to put on. Oh. And I find that so awkward. Like it feels so unnatural for someone else to put my coat on. And then basically I got one arm in. I couldn't find the other arm. And I was like spinning. We were both spinning around. Like her trying to get my coat on, my arm just doing this, just being like, yes, I can't. This is a bit unnatural, actually. It was just so fucking awkward. And in the end, I just said to her, look, babe, we're both too socially awkward to do this. And she laughed and I was like, just give me my coat. I can't
walk
handle
out
this
with
stress.
One arm in and one out. I'm gone. I'm out.
I'm going to leave. This is too much intensity. I can't handle it. So yeah, that was my little social awkward interaction of the week.
Oh, I love it.
Socially awkward interaction of the week. Maybe that's a feature we
can
start.
Isn't it mad though? Isn't it mad how like we're so... I don't know if other people are socially awkward like me, because I think most people are like you, which makes me then feel like even more of a fucking weirdo.
No, there's definitely. I think it would be a 50-50 thing. Should we do a poll about it?
Let's do a poll. And also, before we go any further, there's no point in mentioning it, but this podcast comes out tomorrow, and tomorrow evening, we are actually going to be having a discussion with a swinger.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. It's a swinger couple.
The brilliant thing about this is that I actually have a swinger story.
Oh yes, nice. We're going to be like Stacey Dooley and Louis Theroux doing a documentary.
Mate, can we be that? Can you imagine if we did a documentary? Any producers out there? Just
come on,
bear
let
us
make
mind.
A documentary about sex.
Seriously, Vic and I, the two of us, me with my social awkwardness, yours with you with yours, it would be a match made in comedy heaven.
I mean, I wouldn't even speak, so I don't know how well that would go down.
Because there'd be a lot of zooming in on your face. And
do you know that's true?
That alone is very entertaining.
You know what? I have noticed you saying, oh, do other people have that socially awkward thing? The thing is with me, like, if I meet someone, I did it yesterday at a party, so not like a cool party, a fucking soft play party.
Obviously.
But, if I feel like there's a connection to somebody, then I will be like you, and I will just be telling them about my fucking hemorrhoids within 5 minutes of knowing them. So I do that oversharing thing, but I think I have to have a connection with them. I don't just do it.
Yeah, and I guess the thing for me is I'm desperate for everyone to like me, and in my mind, for some unknown reason, I think if I behave this way, they'll like me. Historically, yeah. That's not worked yet, so
might have to try a new tactic.
That burlesque bird, she looked terrified by the end of it.
I saw her face in your picture on your stories.
She's just so beautiful.
We'll have
the
to
nipple
look
her tassels
up.
Were just what's unreal. Her name? I tried to tag her, but she doesn't allow people to tag her. She's married. I've looked her up.
Of course, you're such a stalker. Have you written her a birthday card yet, telling her how much you love
how
her?
How much I love her. Without. You want to see her in a wedding dress, mate, and her husband.
How
I mean,
are you looking at her pictures of her with her fucking...
On her fucking Instagram. I follow her Instagram now,
oh,
mate.
Oh, you followed her. Well, I might have to, but let me have a quick sneaky little look then.
Right, hang on. Okay, so let me get my little story up.
Oh, yes, the swinger story. So we're having a swinger story to warm us up for next week.
So this is just going to lube all of your gears up, guys. I was with my ex for about 12 years. 10 years in, we started experimenting with an open relationship. I arranged to meet a guy at a hotel about an hour's drive away. We met on a swinging site and very much casual and kinky. We'd had a few phone calls, video calls before we met, and he had asked me to arrive with a butt plug in my ass.
Nice, as you do.
I know. Excuse me, if you don't mind, can you just arrive with something off your asshole? My husband was pretty vanilla, so I was more than up for this. I drive, plug in ass to meet him. We get to the room, all the fun. Then we decided to have anal sex. I go to pull out the plug but can't feel it, and then figured that he must have taken it out already. So we have lots of sex.
Wait a minute. How do you not notice that she's taken a butt plug out?
And also, how do you not notice if it's like, surely it's like, a moment?
Yeah. Laura made a little movement with her mouth, but you didn't hear it. It was like a... like that.
Did you not hear it? Out. Oh, that's gutting.
Mine would be more like that. That's how you know my girl. Oh, I just thought of something funny. In the cafe on Saturday, bear in mind that we were like really trendy fucking East London, I did a sneaky little fart because I'm very much a public farter. And then Ian goes, who farted? And I was like, oh, I don't know. She went, Oliver, you farted. And then he got really upset and was like, I didn't fart. It wasn't me. And
you know, I've got to like, come clean.
No, I didn't say anything because we were in a cafe surrounded by people. So I essentially let my six-year-old get blamed for a fart that he didn't do, because that's what family's all about. Why else would you have kids other than to blame your secret farts on?
Rob is such a lucky guy.
He really is. He really is.
I forgot where I was. Voting calls
were falling out.
So thought he'd already taken it out. So we have anal sex and lots of other fun. Then afterwards, I go to leave and ask him where the plug is. He looks shocked and says he didn't take it out. I panic, look under the bed, everywhere in the room, just in case it had fallen out and rolled. I mean, I don't think a butt plug ever just falls out, love.
No, I know.
No, but we both knew that hadn't happened. I went to the loo, shoved a finger up my bum, and I felt it. How did he not feel it? Did he only put his tip in? I mean, fucking hell.
Oh, my God, he's pushed it right up her bum canal.
Yeah, I couldn't get to it and started to panic. He offered to drive me to A&E about 40 minutes away, but I was worried I'd end up having to be admitted and my husband would then have to drive the guy from the hospital back to the hotel or somewhere equally as awkward. So I drove myself to A&E at 2 a.m., lost plug up my ass, crying, had to text my husband to explain why I wouldn't be home, waited for about 4 hours to be seen. It was so far up that it had been fucked even deeper and in sideways. Fuck
my
life. A nurse attempted to get it. At one point, she asked the other nurse in the room to hand her the pliers, which I think scared the plug deeper into my bum.
Oh, my God.
She was unsuccessful, but a doctor with the longest fingers I've ever seen on a human managed to scoop it out, and he instructed, as he instructed me to bear down.
What, was it ET or something? Elliot. But...
It came out also with a load of poo.
Oh, Lord.
He asked if I wanted it back. I declined. I then drove myself home to my husband, who found the whole thing hilarious. Not sure if this counts as a one-night stand, as I met the guy a few months later. He brought along a female friend for a threesome. It was awkward, so I left halfway through. I'm no longer with my husband, but that's unrelated. Doing the job I do now, I don't think I would have any issues retrieving things from holes, but I no longer use plugs or anal stuff to myself. So I have asked the question, well, what do you do now?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're all right with holes, I mean, what are you? Are you the person that puts holes in Swiss cheese?
Maybe. Or is she extracting things from holes?
Maybe. Maybe she is a chief.
She could be a nurse. She could be a vet. They do a lot of taking things out of bums and things like that, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my God, she's replied. So you thought, she could be a nurse. I bet she's a vet. She's a dominatrix.
Oh, okay, slightly different.
And she certainly is not putting the holes in Swiss cheese.
Oh, wow, bloody dominatrix. Let's have a chat to her. Add her to the list of guests. Jesus. Yeah. Should ask her that.
Did I say to her, would she like to come on the show and chat to us?
Yeah, interview, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love this. Like a dominatrix. I think we've said many times on here, the butt plug is not an instrument that I have much interest in or have ever experimented with.
No, me neither. But, I mean, I wonder how he didn't go, that's weird.
Yeah, does it not feel like something's really cold touching and hard? I suppose it might have warmed up if it was inside her actual bum. But still, it would have been really hard unless he just thought, wow, she's really constipated.
Yeah, wow, that's coming out.
What would you have done in that situation? Because I would have been tempted before sort of the humiliation of going to A&E. I think I probably would have taken a shitload of laxatives first.
Well, that's a good idea. But then just by the time the laxatives work, that probably would have been up in your lung, mate.
Yeah, maybe. No, but it's not going to go any further, is it? Your intestines aren't going to like suck it up and send it up the other way. So then you throw it up.
Mate, it's really like that's the butt. The arse is a very exceptionally dangerous place to lose things. If you put a coin up there, it wouldn't just stay there. It would travel through your intestines. You'd die.
But surely your intestines are designed to push things the other direction. That's like going in the cat. That's going counterclockwise.
Imagine like a caterpillar.
Here we go.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
I mean, already I'm like, how does a caterpillar relate to a bumhole?
You know how a caterpillar moves and it's just like that?
That, yeah.
That is the inside of your arsehole.
But I understand that basic, like, physics kind of biology thing. What was that little place then? It's like you got a whiff of what the bumhole would have smelled like. What that butt plug smelled like when it came out. Would you get the butt plug?
No.
Yeah, I would have been too scared to ever put anything up my bum again.
Well, so she's obviously quite happy to put a truncheon up someone's ass, but she's sitting right up hers.
Oh my God. I wouldn't
be able to. The thing is for me personally, being the people pleaser that I am, I would not want him to know that he had shoved it further up my arsehole. So I'd have been like, oh, this has been lovely. I've got to dash. I'd get in the car. I'd then cry. And it would be a lot of panicking.
Yeah.
I'd definitely call Steve and be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I just, even that like transaction there of like, she's just been bummed by this other man who she's not married to. And then she's telling her partner about it. Like even that blows my mind. Like, could you imagine
Lols, I'm going to be home late tonight, babes.
Yeah, because I've got somebody stuck up my bum off. It's like,
because my butt plug got shoved up my ass even further. See you in about 4 hours.
It's fascinating. Put the kettle on. I just can't quite imagine it being my life. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's certainly not mine. I mean, Steve has to deal with some pretty awkward conversations with me as it is. I don't think he could survive that one.
I've got loads of butt plugs because we've been sent so many sex toys for our sex toy site.
And you know what, butt plugs is a big thing, but I've never been tempted. And, you know, we've talked about it. And Steve's like, I don't give a shit if you've got someone out there.
Yeah.
It means nothing to me. And like I said, Steve would fuck an armpit. You know,
is it an erogenous zone, the bumhole? I know it is for men, but is it for women?
I think it is meant to help. I know somebody who said that they like doing anal because it helps them orgasm, which is odd to me because the G-spot is further away from that. It's the other side of the bumhole.
But then I suppose if you're doing double DP, double ender, then you're rubbing it from either sides, aren't you?
Yeah.
But maybe
it's a no for me.
It's a strong no.
It's a strong no. And no doubt what would happen is there would be a buildup of gas and it would just start trumping out at a very slow, you know, like a train, chew-chewing.
It's very surprising that she couldn't feel it going further up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would have felt that.
Going to say that she had a trainee butt plug and she definitely needed to go size up. She's a dominatrix, babe. She knows her shit. Clearly we don't.
No.
Oh, dear. Fun times. Butt plugs getting stuck up your bum.
What do you reckon the hospital does with all these things that get extracted from people's
anuses?
It's
got to go in, you know, there's the different coloured bins, like there's toxic waste. It's got to go in that one.
Toxic waste.
You know, when police officers, they confiscate like drug money, I'm sure there might be chances where that might disappear and it might go home. I don't believe those butt plugs are going home with anyone.
Not even the doctors?
No.
There might be a pervy doctor, you never know. Anyone can be a pervert. Well,
to be fair, yeah. And who's to say that a doctor wouldn't be like, oh man, I'm into this.
Yeah, exactly. Could just take it. No one's going to notice, are they?
No.
I don't suppose it gets like itemised.
Yeah.
There's some sort of inventory of things that are taken from people's bums.
Like, you know, when like police officers, they have, I don't know why I keep going to police officers, but they have like those boxes that are like for crime and evidence and stuff like that. And there's like, you know, patient X, dildo removed.
Do they do that?
And then put it like a sandwich
bag. It in the bin. Like,
you know. It's got to go in like the, this is horrible waste bin. And then where does it end up, Vic? Well, a tortoise's fucking nose.
Of course it does.
Not a tortoise, a turtle's.
A tortoise's nose.
A whale shark's intestines.
Have you still got your tortoises?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I haven't had an update on those two little fellas for a while.
Well, they've been asleep for months, mate.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah. They're the least, like,
effort
upkeep ever. Oh, mine are, anyway. I actually had to remove myself from a tortoise group because they were so fucking intense. And, mate, I know.
Why are you on a tortoise group? Like a tortoise WhatsApp group?
No, it was on Facebook.
It's on Facebook, okay. Still, I mean, it's the same fucking
said to me,
mate.
It's really good to go on there because they've got some handy tips of like where to find food and stuff. I was like, all right, I fucking had myself. Oh, you think I've got attachment issues? Shit the fucking bed. I had to remove myself. I was like, I feel like I am abusing my tortoises in comparison to what these people do.
Really? I'm honestly not sure that I can have like feelings for an animal that essentially looks like a penis with a shell on its back.
Well, it's a human thing, so you have to. Otherwise, you're a complete psycho.
But it's not human, is it? It's a tortoise.
Well, all right. So is that how you feel about Hendrix? He's not human.
Yeah, but he's cute and fluffy. He doesn't look like a penis.
To be fair... Flash is adorable. Spike is a cunt. So I would agree with Spike is vile. He chases us around
the
garden.
You
think, oh, they're really slow. They're not. They're really fast. When they get heated up by the sun, it's like a fucking Duracell
solar
battery.
Panel. Yeah.
Spike is cool. He's chilled. He likes his he likes being stroked on the head. Whereas Spike, he is an arrogant cunt. He is. If we try and put the washing out, we have to put shoes on because otherwise he'll bite your feet.
Oh, my God, so vicious.
Toby has cried before at the fear of being cornered by him.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And he's seven.
It's an aggy
tortoise. My seven-year-old son is terrified, but to be fair, he's terrified of slugs, so he's probably not a good example.
So what was the group like? It was just too much, was it? People kicking
mate,
off?
No, they create homes, as in like, there is
a
front garden.
Yeah.
There is a front garden. There is a well-kept roughage for the animal that's topped up every day to make it look like flowers, like a flower bed. There is grass.
Yeah.
There is a fucking white picket fence and a house that they go into. You think I'm joking? I'm not.
No, I can totally imagine it. Remember when we talked about being on the like next door neighbor app things? We've laughed about it before because you get the most ridiculous messages there. There was one today that said,
I'm already
laughing. Hi guys, tonight I was hit by a big potato.
Is that a joke? Shut up.
Someone threw a potato at me from a car.
Stop.
I'm really sorry, but that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Imagine someone lobbing a King Edward at you when you're just trying to have a very nice little stroll down the street. And then you suddenly just get whacked in the back of the head by a massive baked potato. Oh, that's harsh though, isn't it? Fucking, that's so harsh. I was like, oh, was it uncooked or cooked? Because if it was uncooked, that's a weapon and a half. I reckon you could die if it hit you on your temple. Nora's lost it.
Is that?
I can't even understand what Laura's saying. Oh, why don't you come and move to my part of London? It's that so is, welcoming. That's my local area. I mean, it's only ever negative stuff on there about people getting fucking robbed and attacked, but it tickled me.
Attacked?
Say I. It did tickle me. It's such an immature thing to do, which is why I find it so funny. Do you reckon they shout "Spud" as they drive off?
My stomach hurts. Why would you complain about that?
Because that is the sort of people that are on those apps, isn't it?
It's just so, like, who would admit?
Oh yeah, by the way, it was me. Yeah, no one's going to respond to that. Also, like, sorry.
Imagine if that got caught on the Ring doorbell.
Yeah, I bet it was. It definitely would have been by someone.
A vicious crime against potatoes.
A heinous crime against potatoes.
That should be in a newspaper. So, oh my God, Vic, that absolutely, I was not expecting that.
Death
today.
Death by potato. I've got a little message here, which is just very funny. It's kind of a story. It's very funny. All right. So, hi, girls. Here's the, I can't even say this word, obligatory. Is that how you say that?
Obligatory, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the obligatory. I love your podcast so much, but I honestly do love your podcast. So fucking merch. My husband and my sister love your podcast also, and we have loads of inside jokes we now use because of it.
Sister
and I in particular greet each other with, hello, you slag. It's kind of a competition between us as to who can say it the loudest and longest and who can make it sound the most vulgar when saying it. So my grandmother went into hospital recently and we took the opportunity to get stuck into redecorating and cleaning her house. Since she's let it go, she suffers greatly from mobility. So off we pop and buy all our materials. We need to revamp Gran's house. La, la, la. And of course, we choose to listen to your podcast whilst decorating and had some right laughs. Yesterday, however, is a story in itself. I dropped the kids to school and headed to Gran's. I forgot her back door key, so text my sister to come to the front door when she arrived. So off I went, painting the woodwork while listening to you two gorgeous girls. As I was painting, I heard the back door knock. A window was open and I was right in the middle of singing at the top of my lungs about saggy tits and anal warts when I heard a knock at the back door. I was thinking, for fuck's sake, I told her to come to the front door. So I got up off the floor, which was incredibly painful as my knees are absolute bastards. I decided I'd scare my sister, and so I creeped behind the door and popped my head out the back window and shouted, you stupid slag! I said, use the front door! It all happened so quickly that I just saw a lump of human hit the ground with a bang. It was my gran's 85-year-old next door neighbour. Oh, imagine being an 85-year-old just shouting, you stupid slag. I mean, women of that generation are not on board with the way that you and I speak, are they? She fucking collapsed. The poor soul had come to ask if we'd any update on how my grandma's doing. She never responded when I called her name, so I had to go out the front door and run around to the back garden to help her. She couldn't get up, and so I had to phone an ambulance and wait with her. Ended up being taken into hospital to be checked over and ended up with a concussion.
Oh my God.
Nora, that was so... our fault. That's actually by osmosis. That is our fault.
Can only hope that concussion meant she didn't remember.
We fucking flatlined a nan.
Did she make a jump?
That's worse. Oh, that's worse than getting hit. Yeah, what's worse, getting hit by a potato or being screamed at
and being concussed for being called a stupid slag
when you're 85?
However, all her family were asking, "What happened?" They were saying, "What happened? Oh God, what happened?" And I just said, "I thought she was my sister," and I jumped out and said, "Boo." Yeah, you liar.
Yeah, but even then, even admitting the fact you jumped out on her is something. Oh, hang on. So my elderly mother is in hospital because you thought it would be funny to jump out on her? Nothing about that is good.
It doesn't sound good. Oh, I really God, I hope she doesn't remember that I, in fact, called her a stupid slag. Wailing at the top of my lungs about anal warts. That is such a good story. Oh my God. Please keep me anon, as I fear her family won't be thanking me for taking care of her if they find out the truth. I'm definitely going to hell.
Well, we'll join you, darling, because we laughed.
We'll be there with you.
But I'd love to know.
It's our fault, Laura. I feel slightly responsible.
When the sister comes around and says, like, what the fuck? Why is there an ambulance here?
Yeah, what's going on?
I thought Beryl was you. I jumped out on her. I shouted that she was a silly slag. She fell. She's now fucking unconscious.
Unconscious, a concussion. That's a serious injury.
She's like, imagine, oh God, there's just...
Oh, the poor dear. That do you reckon she'd even ever heard the word slag before? Is she that kind
that
of 85-year-old
Vic, that
woman?
Has to be up there.
That's an excellent story.
That is, I feel
and
like...
And that is the title of this episode, is Stupid Slag.
Slag.
Stupid or, slag.
Or when potatoes attack.
When potatoes attack.
Oh my God, that is Christ. So... I actually don't even
bless
know...
Her.
How do you even go on from that?
I don't know. I don't know if you could ever, like, bring it up, or... Do you think she'd remember?
Have I ever told you about that time when the guy in my parents' back garden got hit by a rocket that my dad had not secured properly? Yeah, and my sister and my, that. And my mum and dad told my sister and I to leave because basically we were. And have I also told you about the time my sister clotheslined a guy that was running after my mum and dad with the car door?
No, you haven't told us that.
So yeah, so we were. There's so many situations where my parents have been traumatized, and both Emma and I have not taken it very seriously. So we'd gone out for dinner, mum and dad were in front, and my sister at the time, they had a big truck, and my brother-in-law was driving it. We were in the back, not paying any attention to what was going on, and then my sister starts screaming for her husband to stop immediately. Anyway, she's screaming and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? She's not saying anything because she's panicking, and basically my mum and dad thought they had hurt a guy that was absolutely off his face at the side of the road. They pulled in and he was belting it down the road after them. And my mum and dad got out of the car innocently thinking, oh God, we hope everybody's okay. And my sister can see all of this going on. So anyway, John abruptly slams the brakes on and my sister throws her car door open at the exact moment that this guy, and she fucking clotheslined him, knocked him out clean on the floor and split his head open.
God, is she like some sort of Navy SEAL being able to do that?
The whole car shook. I still didn't know what was going on. The whole car shook and I just peered outside and there was a man laying on the floor. And Emma went, oh God, I'm ever so sorry.
But she really intentionally did that.
But no, she was doing it to get out of the car. She just, I mean, the timing was so exceptional.
Yeah.
It was just a complete fucking coincidence that as he was running, she swung at the door open.
And what happened to him?
His mates collected him and then we drove off. And like Emma and I, none of us, like we could barely walk. We were all laughing so much. I had tears streaming down my face. And we pull up outside mum and dad's house because we're like, shit, we need to check on them. And Emma was like, right, that's it. You know mum's going to be upset. We've got to just play this cool. My mum's crying her eyes out because she's worried about this lad. And Emma and I are like, it'll be fine, mum. My mum's like, I've got to call the police. I need to really tell them about this poor lad. I hope he's okay. And Emma, my mum and dad are like, you two need to leave.
Yeah. You are not taking this seriously.
That poor boy could be seriously hurt and we have no idea. But my mum's description when she called the police was, there was a man and we think he might have been on something more than alcohol. He was running after us and my daughter accidentally hit him with the car door. He seemed to have a cut on his forehead and he was unconscious for a few minutes. But I promise you, it wasn't intentional. And the police officer went, Okay.
Cool. I'm going to arrest you.
That was it. We never heard anything else. My mum was like, here's all of my details if you need to arrest me. But yeah, like that, God, my sister immediately went up in the estimations of levels of coolness.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you absolute living legend.
That's like something out of a film, that is.
I wish it had been caught on camera. I would replay it over and over again.
I wish the fucking Eurus Massive Slag.
Nanny Slag.
Was caught on camera.
Nanny Slag.
Oh, Lord, that's been a very entertaining episode. I'm not going to lie.
We've only read one. Oh, we've read two stories.
Yeah.
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
It has. Oh, my abs are hurting. Well, I've got abs. My flab is hurting.
It's
hey-o.
It's hey-o.
What's your weapon of choice? Potato. That's instantly where I go.
There's a cunt. Whack him. But also, in a moving car, can we acknowledge the talent?
Yeah, I know. That's pretty precise.
You've got to have a good hand-eye coordination.
Unless they slowed down and did it at like 5 mph.
Even then, with my throw,
I'd be shit. I'd be absolutely shit.
I'd probably go to throw it, hit the inside of the window, and then hit me. Like, you've got to have a pretty good fucking aim.
I feel aim like they might
someone they in might the fucking been, head. It's a
they
very
might
small.
Have been, practicing that, don't you reckon? You know, like you do, like target practice.
Target practice, potato practice.
Do potato practice,
Yeah.
With a cardboard cutout of a person.
Careful. That, there could be a serial potato attacker around.
Yeah, I better be careful. Think about that. I'm going to feel really nervous now walking anywhere.
You should. You've got a potato in the face, that would be it. I wouldn't.
You'd have no sympathy at all.
It would be awful. Because I wouldn't be able to give you anything.
No.
There would be no emotional capacity.
Absolutely no sympathy. I mean, even better, what if it happened to Rob?
Oh, God.
Yes. And then we can both enjoy that. Rather than one of us being the victims. Rob's the sort of guy that I would like to potato as well. I'd see him and be like, get him. He thinks he's too cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, yesterday when we were Spitfields, one of the market stall guys was like to Rob, oh my God, are you that famous guy? McEnvoy, James McEnvoy. James McEnvoy. I was like, are you blind?
Isn't it? Oh, I thought they were going to say McIntyre. I was like, that's not a compliment.
No, that's not a compliment. James McEnvoy is a compliment. He doesn't look anything like him, but Rob liked it because he's got his quiff now. He's had his hair done. He's gone back to quiff days.
Old googly eyes and quiffy hair.
Mate, the quiff does it for my quim, let me tell
does
you.
It?
Yeah, it's like his hair in that picture that I showed you when I first met him. Fit as anything. A quiff really suits him.
Yes.
It's quite a casual quiff. I can't even say
cliff.
It. It's a casual
cliff.
Quiff.
That's
it's
what
not
call
too
it from
like
now on.
Sculpted, do you know what I mean? It's
swept back. Looks like no effort's been made.
Yeah, just makes him look.
Did you hear about that woman on BBC? No, what's the weekend breakfast show?
No.
And I think it might have been this weekend. I can't remember what her name is. Phoebe something, I think. And she said, instead of saying doing it on a whim, she said, you're just doing it on a quim.
Brilliant.
And then she was like, quim? I don't think that's a word. So she kept saying it. And then like the TV host was like, oh, I'll talk about that later. And then like roll forward however long later, he was like, I just need to apologise on behalf of Phoebe, who whatever her name is, who's still making the fucking food, because she absolutely didn't know the word. I will explain it to her later. We apologise for anybody that's offended. And then in the background, you can see her face like, fuck, what have I said? I have no
oh,
idea.
It's such a brilliant word, that, isn't it?
I know. And it's
but
just
also like, weird, come weird. On, so what? You said Fanny on the TV, big deal, do you know what I mean?
And also, who's going to know that other than cool people? And cool people are down with that word.
I know, we love it. We embrace the quim.
Embrace the feminism.
We're
if
quim
the
small, central.
If, quim central. If this morning can have a fucking ball sack out at 10 a.m. and showing men how to massage it to check
true.
For lumps, and why can't we say quim on a fucking breakfast show that's you know promoting
I love
healthy
a bit of
food
with
recipes
eggs.
Quim and eggs. Oh dear,
oh my God, I'm so laughing today.
I know, it's been an absolute treat.
Right, we're gonna round up now.
I know, we need to go
we need to calm
ourselves
out. down.
Just stop thinking about potatoes getting lobbed at Nans and shouting slag at them.
Can you please keep an eye out on that? Because
I'll give you some potato updates.
Exceptional.
A cereal potato thrower. That would just be the best thing that's ever happened to my whole life. Okay, so if you want to keep sending us your stories, any little anecdotes like you nearly killed a Nan... We love that. Whatever, man. Just send us whatever. You can email us at noholdbarredpodcast@gmail.com or what else, Conrador Laura?
They can head on over to our Instagram page at noholdbarredpodcast and they can just send us a little DM.
Yeah, that's it. It's as simple as that.
And if you wish to buy any sexually related, I was about to say disease then. We definitely don't offer those.
We don't sell those.
We don't sell those, but we do sell toys at noholdsbarredpodcast.com.
That was very exciting.
Venereal disease free.
Yeah. They haven't been used. They haven't been extracted from someone's anuses.
No. Although that's got to be a thing.
That is a thing.
Fucking hell. I know I always ignite another conversation.
You do. Yeah.
But there was a woman... You know those stupid fucking TikToks where that guy walks up to someone on the street and goes, oh, how much are you making?
Yeah, that one.
She makes £300,000 a month for sending pictures of her feet.
Yeah, I know, mate. Feet's a big thing, isn't it?
I've got ugly feet. I'm fucked. Unless they like
hobbit
toes.
They might like ugly feet, though. They might like it.
I might do it. I
think I've got quite nice feet, actually, as far as feet go.
I'm like well up for making money off of my body parts. I've got no shame in that.
No, me neither. I just need to happen. So that's it. We all need to start selling feet then. So not selling actual feet, just selling photos of feet.
Old, 98-year-old Brenda, she don't need that fucking toe anymore. Off it goes.
Absolutely not. Right, we're going. We'll see you next week. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, slags.